Welcome back, everybody, once again. I'm Don Seyfried. It's the Dr. Treefruit and Don podcast. I'm here with Dr. Carrie Peter. Say hi, Carrie.
Good morning. Hello.
And I'm here with Dr. Greg Krawcheck. Say hi, Greg.
Hello.
All right. So this is another Fruit Bite. It is Monday, May 15th. We're recording this. As I said, it's Carrie, Greg, and myself. So we don't have an update from Jim, but those of you that are coming out of Bloom, depending on where you're listening from, that may be relevant to you. If you're looking for thinning information, go back and take a listen to our podcast recorded on May 5th, and that should give you a good set of guidelines from Dr. Shoup. So we'll get started, and Greg, if you'd like to lead us off, please.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. It's a strange week right now. Strange week right now because, again, you already mentioned that how different stages and different development of the truth are around the state. And the same situation seems to be the case with the insects. We just finished our 8 meeting series last Thursday, and there's a big difference in the truth development, and I'm assuming also in insect development, depend where in the state you are located. Again, it might become a cliche from at least from my side, but I will stress again how important it is that we are monitoring for the pest in our own orchard and not trying to, you know, use somebody else's data or because I did something last year or something like this. The reason I'm saying this is, you know, Oriental Fruit Moth in Biglerville started on April 6th. And then last week, we had a meeting in the Pittsburgh area in Western PA, and someone said who had the traps from mid-April in the orchard that the first box they caught were actually collected like a week ago, the week before. So it was basically already in May. And it's possible. It's possible everything is weather dependent. In South Central PA, we had this very warm spell early on, March, early April, and then the moths were ready to fly and they started flying, and then we had cold and they didn't fly and then fly again and so on. And maybe this warm part never happened in the Western PA, and then it's different. So this is something to remember when you try to control insect pest. You should control what is in your orchard and the timing that work for your orchard. Not because, you know, people from Biglerville are telling you that this is the time. Another thing about other insects is like codling moth. We were at Petal Fall in April, and every year codling moth starts flying during the bloom of apples. Well, this year, the beginning of the flight, we call them biofix, actually did not happen more than 2 weeks after the bloom. And all of this is because of the weather, of the temperature. So this is something to understand and be aware of, because, you know, we can keep spraying and, you know, yeah, you can go, by now you might have 1, 2, 3 insecticide application already in the orchard. The only problem is, or the question is, were they really needed? Insect to control right now are still Plum curculio and maybe Oriental Fruit Moth. Everything else is kind of either too early or too late or might not be needed. Let's talk about Plum curculio, because I keep talking about this insect since mid-April. Plum curculio is overwinter as adults. It's very weather dependent. It will not do damage. It will not feed. It will not mate if it's too cold. And too cold is the low 60s. There is a model from Cornell saying that you're supposed to accumulate about 300 plus degree days, base 50, until you stop controlling or worry about Curculio. In Biglerville, at the moment, we are at about 185 plus minus degree days since our petal fall. What it means? It means that at least for our region in the southern PA, growers should be aware and make sure that there is some kind of active residue on the trees, at least for another, well, at least until the end of May, maybe into first week of June. I mean, based on the forecast and on the NEVA prediction, on May 20th, which is end of this week, we'll be at 225 degree days, which is still well below when Curculio can cause the damage. So if you had a problem with Curculio in the past, be on the lookout, be vigilant at least until end of May, maybe into first week of June. According to the model, and also based on the NEVA prediction, or they call them forecast, we should be done with the first generation oriental fruit moth. And assuming that we started as we did on April 6th, we already have a 5 weeks of flight, so yeah, this will be over. However, again, the same situation. If you have traps, and the traps are collecting oriental fruit moth, doesn't matter that model says, oh, they don't do this anything. Well, they are still flying. And if male can find traps, they will also find female and they will lay eggs and the injury can still happen. Codling moth, this is the biggie one that is coming. At the moment, we are at about 120 degree days. First insecticide application is recommended at about 250 degree days. By the end of this week, we will be at about 160 degree days. So mid to late of next week, the week of 21st, seems like the timing to control codling moth in Biglerville area. Is this the also good timing for any other part of the state? If you don't have traps, if you don't establish your biofix, it's very difficult to say. We were supposed to control it until about 500 degree days after the biofix. And again, at the moment, we are at 120, despite those relatively nice weather in the last few days. In those mid-70s, we are accumulating about 10, 15 degree days per day. So you can calculate how long it might take before your first application should happen, and then when the second and so on. But don't be surprised if I will be keep talking about codling moth in the second, third week of June and still saying that it's time to control it. It seems like the weather this season is, well, in April, I thought we are in one of the warmest year of the warmest season. Now it does not look like. The forecast is very rational. You know, we are in the 70s or something like this. But again, this might change because I don't know. I look at the forecast 10 minutes ago. By now, it might be different. So anyway, I use the phrase, it might be cliche, put the traps and base or whatever you do on actual situation in your orchard. That's the only good advice we can provide. And then if you know your situation, then we can be much more precise and so on. That's all I really have, unless you have some other questions related to some other insects. But I think, you know, we have time for aphids, we have time for mites, we have time for leaf rollers, and usually the CM control, codling moth control, will also take care of leaf rollers. Wooly apple, if it might start showing up, but then again, if it show up, then you have to do something like Movento about it, those kind of things. But again, if you need to control codling moth, diamites, which is Altacor, Exirel, Verdeplem, Volium, Besiege, Mimecta, or Delegate. This is the rotation. If you are organic or you want to do stuff organically, then Kotlin Moth granulosis virus, either in Madex, Sidex, what is the other name? Carpovirus. That's a different product that we don't spend too much time, but it seems like have the same active, should also work. Those will be something to consider, but probably not before end of next week. So that's all I have, unless you have some questions.
That sounds really good. I think one thing that I'll ask you, if you can give a brief explanation on, since I think this is the first time we've really touched on it this year, how do you calculate what a growing degree day is? Because you've mentioned that you can accumulate, 10, 15 growing degree days per day. So they're clearly not one day equals one growing degree day.
No. It's a good question. The very simple way is to just go to production guide and take your minimum and maximum, and then it will tell you how many degree days you accumulated. Other way, if you want to do, and I have growers who actually are calculating the grid days by themselves, it's very simple. You take the sum of minimum and maximum for a day, divided by two, and then take out the base that you're calculating the grid days. For Kotlin moth, it will be minus 50. For oriental fruit moth, it will be minus 42. And again, this is more complicated. There are different models, and sometimes the temperature is calculated every hour or every 15 minutes and stuff like that. But the important part is the lower the threshold, the base, the more degree days you accumulate. Because again, you add min to max divided by two minus the base. That's how you generally calculate the degree days for different insects. But different insects have a different degree days. So on the same day, you're accumulating a lot of more degree days toward development of oriental fruit moth than you do toward the plum curculio or codling moth. Codling moth and curculio are actually at the same base. They are the base 50. So the degree days accumulate at the same speed, plus minus.
Awesome. Thanks. I think that'll help some folks clarify exactly what you were talking about. So,
okay.
Carrie?
All right. Same like Greg, I have just a brief update. So just to sort of address the fire blight situation for people who are still kind of at the tail end of bloom, because as Greg mentioned, when we were visiting the western part of the state last week, people were still in bloom, especially kind of the middle western part of the state. So that was like, in between Pittsburgh and Erie, that area, and like significant bloom. And so this past weekend for you folks, we did have a, fire blight infection period for anyone who was still in bloom. And what I still keep reminding people is that we're not out of the woods yet for fire blight. So, even though like down here in Adams County, the south central part, we had two really good fire blight infection events in April, a week apart. And then it was followed by a cold spell. But just because it was cold doesn't mean that fire blight went away. It just slowed it down. And we had some pretty warm days last week, some warm days over the weekend. It's moderate this week, nothing too extreme. But we're, if fire blight occurred, you're going to be seeing it now for those people who had experienced infection events in April. And so, one thing I've been advocating is being proactive in attempting to mitigate any problems that could pop up should your protection have fallen short for whatever reason. And to do that, you can use the Apogee or Kudos. That's that prohexidione calcium. If people have been doing that, great, then you're coming up, probably slowing down some growth, hardening off of shoots. So hopefully that will help you. For those of you that are coming out of bloom, this is something that you may want to consider. And one question that came up during one of the meetings last week was, would prohexidione calcium interfere with thinning products? And that's a really good question. And what Jim Shoup answered, he said that when you apply prohexidione calcium, which is as kudos or apogee, at 16 ounces to the acre, yes, you might see issues of your thinner not working as well. However, he said anything below that, you would be fine. It shouldn't interfere with thinning. I believe I remembered that correctly because that was something that stuck in my head, especially since I was advocating the use of Prohex to mitigate fire blight. So if you aren't blasting your trees with Prohex at that really extreme rate, then you should just be fine as far as your thinning regime goes, should you choose to use it. But I still advocate the use of this, especially for some growers that may have been hit a bit hard with the low temps over the last month. Some people did get wiped out. You know, there were spots where there's no fruit. What I remember what Jim's saying, you know, prohexidione calcium can help you in two ways, fire blight, but it can also control shoot growth, especially in those trees that don't have fruit. So you do want to be controlling shoot growth in those trees from what I remember, and hopefully I'm remembering correctly. So you can use the Prohex on dwarfing trees. You can use it at a low rate. You know, if you haven't reached your tree volume yet, you can use it around 4 ounces, and it will slow the growth down, but you can still get fire blight control. And then once it wears off, you can regain some of that shoot growth to fill in the shoot spacing. But, you know, considering how tricky it was this year, I'm hoping folks do consider this fire blight control tactic. If you don't want to use it or if you're organic, you know, one way to help limit shoot blight is Quava. Quava doesn't, I will say this, it's not strong enough to control blossom blight because of its low metallic copper content in the product. It's very weak for blossom blight, but we do see mitigation occurring when you use it as a shoot blight control. It does seem to limit shoot blight. So, you know, this you'd have to be proactive in putting it on regularly for shoot blight control. So this is something else to consider as far as using Quava at the 2 quarts to the acre. Now on to the fungal diseases for apple. So for folks that are well into the cover sprays now, the primary apple scab season's over and done. We should be good, but we're not out of the woods because of the topic that I've been talking about ad nauseum for the last month, and that's Marcinina blotch. We are still not out of the woods for Marcinina blotch. So please don't stretch your intervals, especially the alternate row middle intervals, too extreme right now because we had a pretty good rain event over the weekend. It's calling for another rain event this weekend, maybe. I don't know. The jury's still out as far as what the rain is for the coming week. As Greg said, right now it says no rain this week, but that could change by the end of the day. We're at the ideal temperatures for Marcinina to be very, very happy in the orchard to cause infection. So as far as what you need to be applying now, again, the FRAC 3s, the FRAC 7s, the FRAC 9s, and there's lots of different options for this. Sevia, Lunaflex, Inspire Super, Vanguard, Luna Tranquility, Excalia, Tessara, Saprovia, Fontellus, Miravis, Procure, Rally. Those are just a handful that I can remember off the top of my head. So these are very good against for Marcinina blotch. Also, some of these products are very good against powdery mildew because we're really not, powdery mildew showing up pretty well right now, especially primary powdery mildew, that those spores that were in the buds, especially the shoot tip buds or the blossom buds, have come out. And I'm seeing quite a bit of, as far as terminal tip powdery mildew, that from the shoot tip terminals, and also some aborted blossoms too as a result. So, you know, powdery mildew can still be a problem for folks. So we're kind of at the end of that primary period, moving into the secondary period where other leaves and possibly fruit can become infected. So it's just something to be mindful of. In the case of Marcinina and powdery mildew, for organic growers, you need to be covering up your trees. There is no way around this. You have to apply something on the trees, and that something is sulfur. And I've been harping on this again for the last month. I've been harping about it at the meetings. Gone are the days during the primary period where you can get away with applying nothing. Marcinina's changed all that. The scab-resistant varieties are very, very, very susceptible to Marcinina. If you get infection now, you're going to get extreme defoliation in a few months, which is going to mess up the trees more ways than one. It's going to weaken the trees going into winter. It's going to mess up the fruit as far as the fruiting buds establishment. It just becomes a hot mess. So use the sulfur regularly. Be mindful of how much rain falls because sulfur can wash off. There are really no alternatives. I've tested them. And everything is weak except for sulfur. Sulfur is really the only one that seems to do a decent job at controlling Marcinina blotch. It's also good for powdery mildew too. Okay. But for those folks, like the folks that I saw in Western PA that are at like late bloom petal fall, scab is still of concern, as is Marcinina. So the same control measures for Marcinina will also control scab right now. So those FRAC 379 products. As I've been mentioning for many weeks now, save those FRAC 11 products for when it gets a bit warmer for rot control. So, we've gotten into the topics of like cover spray, talking about cover spray, starting at second cover or third cover, but we're in this really weird spot now. But for a lot of us, we're in second cover, especially down here in Adams County. And it's actually too, like looking at the weather, it's a little too early to start think about controlling for bitter rot. It's just not warm enough yet. It's still rather on the cool side. So I would still hold off those FRAC 11 products for closer we get into June when it gets into the hot weather. If you're tank mixing with Mancozeb right now, that's going to be enough for any little bits of possibly bitter rot that could become a problem. But I'm honestly not concerned about bitter rot right now because the temperatures just aren't conducive enough to really wreak havoc. They will be soon. I mean, it's been so weird. Maybe it won't be soon. but when you start seeing consistent temperatures in the 80s during the day, that's when I want folks starting to really be thinking seriously about bitter rot control. We're in the mid 70s, low 60s. It's really chilly at night. It's just not bitter rot weather right now. And so, still be thinking about that June target date right now. If we see those 80 temperatures in June, if say next week it pops up in the 80s, my tune will change. But right now, based on what I'm seeing in the extended forecast for the next 10 days, it's still going to be relatively cool on the cooler side, not very hot. So it's not really bitter rot weather yet. Like I said, for anything out there that could be lingering or popping up, as long as you're tank mixing with your broad spectrum, you will be good. Because I will say this, even if you've switched to Captan already, and some people may have, depending on their variety, Captan is honestly still the best thing out there. And for the folks that are the organic folks, sulfur. So if you're using sulfur to control Marcinina, sulfur will still, be kind of suppressing any bitter rot that's out there. Okay, so finally, as far as just a quick run through for the stone fruit, still be worried about cherry leaf spot, folks. Please don't forget about your sour cherry trees and keeping them covered up on a regular basis. This is a disease like Marcinina, very aggressive on the leaves and can defoliate the trees. You should be thinking about bacterial spot management now. We are at that stage. We're at shuck split, shuck fall, depending on where you're at. Hopefully, if you do have fruit, you want to be thinking about a rotational program, oxytetracycline, that's Mycoshota Fireline. Rotate that with a low rate of copper, and that copper is at 0.5 ounce to 1 ounce of metallic copper per acre. And I put more details about this in the latest Fruit Times update that was posted last Wednesday, I think. And I linked to the Rutgers article that sort of broke this down a little more specifically. It's also in the tree fruit production guide as well. You can also rotate with something like Serenade ASO at 4 quarts to the acre, I did 20 ounces of Serenade Opti to the acre. You've got Double Nickel, 2 quarts to the acre, Regalia, 2 quarts to the acre. So you've got lots of options for rotating, for controlling for back spot. If you don't want to use antibiotics, you've got coppers, you've got the bacterial-based products, you've got Regalia. It's still one of these diseases that you just have to keep your rotations tight when the conditions are favorable. And we're kind of getting into that stage right now. It's kind of really cool the last few weeks, but now we're getting into kind of, the bacterial spots definitely, I think, has awakened up out there, especially over the last several days. And we had a really good rain event over the weekend and it was pretty warm. So yes. And then just as a reminder for those who do control for rusty spot, I've been again saying this for the last several weeks, rusty spot, for those rusty spot prone peaches or nectarines, this is the powdery mildew on the fruit. Petal fall, shuck, split, first cover, second cover. This is the time frame you want to be controlling for. We're almost at the end of controlling for rusty spot. So still hang in there, keep strong. And I think that's about it.
Cool. Sounds good. I think we'll leave it off here. I think, you and Greg gave pretty brief but comprehensive updates, and I'll try and get this into folks' hands pretty quickly.
Fantastic. Good luck, folks.
All right. Yeah, thank you. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Say goodbye.
See you later.
Bye. Good luck.